Welcome to News Over Brews, the only podcast that breaks down the best of this week's pop culture over a nice cold beer. Sponsored by PopBreak.com. I am your host and moderator, Al Manarino.
On this week's episode, we discuss the potential of an X-Men television show, Johnny Karate might be playing Indiana Jones, and we make our predictions for who's going to win this year's Super Bowl. Welcome back to another episode of News Over Brews. I'm Al Manarino. With me, as always, my two partners in crime. I think I've used that before. Yeah, whatever. Lucas Jones.
Hi, yep. Thanks for having me, Alfred.
And whatever that was. And Ryan DeMarco.
What's going on, Al? So nice to not see you here.
Yeah, speaking of seeing, I see that there's another person in the room. Is that the guy who tried to replace me on two podcasts ago?
Well, this is awkward because, I mean, he actually has replaced you. We'll be terminating your contract after this week.
Damn. And we just got a budget, too.
Yep.
And now you got to kind of get rid of me.
You're also going to have to pay me all the money you owe me before we terminate your contract.
It's actually called budget cuts. Yeah. We got the lights and the audio. We had to cut a person.
I literally cost $0.
We bought him for a year.
I've been paying to be here.
Everyone welcome. Dan Kimchick.
How's it going, y'all? Just sounding like a ladies man, but being Dan Kimchick, you know? I sound like I know ladies, but I really only know football.
The last time I knew football, I had to pay extra. Am I right?
I don't know what that means.
Can we get rid of Ryan and hire you back?
Yeah. I'm completely okay with that, despite with anything Ryan said. Dan, it's great to have you on, but this is not Dan's show right now. This is Lucas's hour. Well, 5 minutes. Lucas, what are we drinking?
We are drinking Left Hand Milk Stout Nitro, the fancy black box with the fancy black label. Milk Stout Nitro is the Nitro version of the milk stout, in case you couldn't figure that out.
Context clues.
What?
Context clues.
Exactly. So it is 6% alcohol, best served 40 to 45 degrees, your standard low alcohol stout. The trick, though, with this one, is you're going to want to do a hard pour. Now, normally when you drink a beer, you pour it into a glass. You do a soft pour. You trickle it down the side to avoid a foam, right? Nobody wants foam in their beer. In this case, you do. If you've ever seen Guinness poured, you'll know that there's that surge of foam that always rises up the glass. You want that. So your best bet is to turn the bottle totally facing down and just dump the beer into the glass and wait for that surge to come up.
Like a caveman,
yeah, per se. I tried to do it, and I dumped a little bit on Lucas's floor.
You put the beer bottle inside of the glass, and then you slowly...
Which is also acceptable.
It was interesting.
Yeah, you just want to create as much disturbance as you can.
Because I failed physics.
Because the result is a creamy head, which, guys, what can you do?
You chew it.
You can chew it.
I've gnawed on it.
A head so thick that you must chew through it.
I almost choked on it.
It's like the first obstacle to find the Holy Grail. You know, there's the penitent man will pass, the word of God, the breath of God, and the leap of faith. The first test is actually try to get through the foam on top of a left hand nitro milk stout. You're getting notes of like a slight roastiness in general. I'll let the other guys come in with their more specific flavors. So how about we go to Dan first?
Second time I've been on the show. Second time I'm going to start with the beer here. This time... I took the sip. You explained I'd be able to chew it. Mm-hmm. I was skeptical. I'm chewing it right now. And what I almost get out of it is like a s'mores experience, where you almost get like a marshmallow on top, and you get like a cocoa, chocolatey kind of flavor coming out of the beer. And it's that good offset of texture and flavor. I'm a big texture guy when I eat and drink. And this is the texture holy grail right here. Mm-hmm. I really, really enjoy the way you have to kind of work to taste it.
Right.
Yeah, wonderfully put, Dan. Certainly has the aromas of it's like caramel, vanilla-y. You said marshmallow. I'm gonna go with vanilla. got a wonderful roast. You know, once you drink it, Obviously, no carbonation, none of that. It's kind of like a burnt, roasty taste. And you get that, you get the caramel, vanilla-y taste with it, too. And it's creamy as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Creamy as all hell. Probably the creamiest thing I've ever had in my entire life. Delicious. The smoothest thing I've also ever had. Smooth as a baby's bottom, mm-hmm. even. Smoother than a baby's bottom. Baby's ass is pretty hairy compared to this thing. Thing's pretty smooth. All around, a wonderful milk stout.
You just got to take it to a weird place. Just describe, you know, you've lost your beer talk.
This has gone to a whole nother level here, folks.
So to wrap this up, before Ryan gets us in trouble. Yeah, so you guys are both right. You're getting soft chocolate notes, slight mocha, a slight coffee flavor, which I think is almost like an unconscious thing. When you taste coffee, it seems like you always almost taste mocha or coffee. In this case, the chocolate, I would say, is more pronounced. And it's like a slight sweetness, and yeah, it's like really creamy, and that comes from two things. It's made with lactose sugar and a lot of it, which we've talked about before can increase the mouthfeel of a beer to make it creamier. But it's also made with flaked oats, which when flaked oats are added to a beer also increases the body of the beer and makes it more robust. The smoothness is attributed to the nitro. So a nitrogenated beer, for those of you who maybe haven't had this before, if you've ever had a Guinness, it's that same thing. It's on nitro instead of carbon dioxide, so the carbonation is much smoother, much tinier bubbles, which explains why you need to hard pour it. And if you haven't already, you should follow us on Instagram at News Over Brews, where we posted a video detailing exactly how to pour this beer into a glass. So yeah, that is the left-hand milk stout nitro. I mean, I love this beer. I had it on draft, and it was like a whole other animal. Like, you think this beer is chewy? Try having it on draft. It was like trying to eat.
They actually
give you
a fork and a knife with it.
Yeah, they give you a fork and a knife, and you try to have them stick in the microwave to melt it a little bit first. I mean, out of the bottle, I give it like an 8.5. Easy, no question. On draft, it's like close. It's a perfect 10. What I'm looking for when I order a nitro stout on draft, that is what that is. And so. Draft perfect 10 in a bottle, you lose some of it because you're stuck pouring it out of a bottle instead of getting that perfect pour out of a tap, but definitely an 8.5, 9. I'll even go with 9. It's a really, really good beer. Dan?
Now, my first beer I had, Lucas poured for me.
Mm-hmm.
That, I'd say, was close to a 9. This time I poured it myself. I didn't pour it perfectly correct. So I think, as Lucas talked about, coming out of the bottle here, I'm going to give it an 8, the second one I'm drinking here.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't chew it as much, but what I would equate it to is it almost tastes like those little Starbucks drinks you can get
mm-hmm.
out of the fridge, and you get the little chilled Starbucks drink. You almost get that kind of Starbucks mocha out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a fan of those Starbucks drinks and you like beer, this is both worlds colliding for you. So that mm-hmm. would be a 10 for anyone with both of those likes.
Interesting. Yeah, actually, Lucas, I hate to be a copycat, but you said it perfectly. I would give this a 9. Only reason it's not a 10 is because it's probably better on draft. Like you said, there's always, you know, you can always pour it wrong. You might not, I don't know, you might screw it up in some way. Other than that, this is an incredible choice, a wonderful milk stout. Just a great beer all around, a 9, yeah, around the board.
Mm-hmm. Well, Al, that's it for our portion of the podcast. Why don't we send it back to you in imaginary land, wherever you are right
on your
now.
Fancy
I
space
think it's
phone.
The cloud. I don't know what the cloud
I
is.
I think he's on... Cloud, probably Cloud 8, it looks like. I wouldn't say Cloud 9 because he doesn't look that happy.
I'm actually in the computer.
His files are in the computer. Well, come on out of the computer.
I can't.
Like the movie Weird Science.
So,
he's
you,
totally
Lucas.
Fed up with us already.
I really.
Shut up.
I seem to create that. I think I did that. I don't know.
Thank you, Lucas and Dan, and not really Ryan, for. That wonderful review of the beer. I'm very jealous.
I'm feeling the hate.
I do love the Left Hand Brewing. I think I've had their nitro, one of their nitro beers.
Sawtooth Nitro.
Possibly.
Yeah, that's their other nitro.
That's the milk stout one.
No, Sawtooth is like an ale, I think.
No, I'm talking about the one you're drinking.
Oh yeah, it's a milk stout.
I don't remember. I got it in the Great Brewers Variety Pack that we love so much.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. It might be the Sawtooth. I don't know. Whatever. But regardless, we have a lot of things to talk about, so let's get right to it. Let's talk about some television news, which is kind of pertaining to comics and movies. The X-Men franchise that had seen its ups and downs started with two very successful movies, with X-Men, the first movie, and X2, X-Men United, and the third one, which was horrible. And then they had Wolverine Origins, which was beyond horrible.
Even more horribler.
Horribler. We actually don't even think that actually counts as a movie at this point. And then they kind of redeemed themselves with this new franchise that they started building with X-Men First Class and Days of Future Past, and now they have X-Men Apocalypse, with stellar cast, returning cast members, new faces, and now they're talking about expanding the universe even further. They are talking about making an X-Men television series. So Fox is an early development through Fox, kind of like what Marvel has done with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., paving the way for crossover, and they want it all to be this shared universe. And I think we've talked about shared universes on the podcast before, but they're looking to make this show for the 2016-2017 TV season. And, you know, with the success of shows like S.H.I.E.L.D. and Gotham, which is really, really, really great right now. And then you have Flash and Arrow. You know, they're even talking about expanding that universe. So, you know, it's a prime time for these franchises to kind of expand into different mediums. So I wanted to hear from Ryan, Lucas, and, of course, our special guest, Dan. What do you think about the X-Men franchise and Fox trying to make their push into television? And do you think they're just A, copying Marvel, and or B, are they actually trying to make some quality programming?
Well, I feel like X-Men is better suited to television than movies anyway. There's so many characters that, like, you can't really give them adequate screen time to develop any kind of story. Like, the reason the cartoons were so successful back in the day is because each time was, like, a different story. I mean, yes, there were some, like, themes that persisted and some storylines that persisted, but generally, each time was, like, a new thing. So I feel like X-Men is a franchise that can really do well on television as opposed to film. I'm probably not going to watch it because I don't watch a lot of TV, but if I did watch TV, I would most likely shaking his head at me. But I imagine I might, you know what, I'll be honest with you, I'll probably catch a couple of episodes here and there, and that's why I'm kind of hoping that they don't do like a thing like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does, where like if you missed an episode, you've missed everything. I kind of hope it's more like the Saturday morning cartoon version, where there's like a different story every time.
Where they have that catchy opening. Mm-hmm.
Ryan?
I don't remember the trombone popping up in that X-Men opening.
It's the only instrument.
Does Louis Armstrong pop up too?
Yes, it is Louis Armstrong.
Does he? You know, actually, I would most likely say it's definitely a bandwagon thing. Like, they're definitely doing it because now everybody's kind of joining the TV front. All these, you know, all the comic shows are now popping up. I won't name them. You know them by now. But I would side with Lucas on this, and probably yourself. You probably would see this too. The TV is good for multiple stories. Definitely character development. More time on, you know, X-Men has a past too with TV, as we've just, you know, sang to you. It's many, especially people of this generation, they have their favorite X-Men. Everybody's got their favorite X-Men, their favorite superpower, so they will definitely tune in. Where S.H.I.E.L.D. is a little different, X-Men would, I'm assuming they're not going to get the cast of, you know, I don't think Hugh Jackman's going to be popping up every week on this, so I'm just going to say it's probably going to be in line of like a First Class type thing, maybe. Like it's like at, you know, the Xavier Mansion, School of Gifted Youngsters. So it's probably going to be something like that, where they're going to be expanding on the characters and everything. And just, I think it's a good idea. Obviously, we have no idea who would do the show or who's writing it. So it could definitely go bad. But in theory, on paper, it's a good idea, I think. What about you, Dan?
Well, as a fan of the cartoons, and I still have the VHSs of a lot of these. I collected the VHSs as a kid. I remember watching every single episode over and over and over. I think TV is the best place for the X-Men. I was a huge fan of the X-Men as a kid. I was not a fan of most of the movies they've made. We talked about some of the bad ones they made. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even some of the better ones, I wasn't a huge fan because you don't get that development. A lot of the early ones, you skipped over Beast really as a character, who was my favorite X-Men.
Right.
And I think now you start developing these characters on television, I think it's the place they should be. You know, we're in the Renaissance age of television. It's a time where a lot more TV shows are getting made, and I think people want to see the background on a lot of these people. You right. don't want to just see people going into action scenes and fighting crime and Transformer explosions everywhere, Michael Bay style. People want to see characters get developed.
Well, that's,
I think
yeah.
you let them do it. You
know? Yeah, that's definitely where they're coming in now, because X-Men's definitely up there with, like, Spider-Man. Like the movies, like, did not follow the storylines at all. They kind of jumped around. Like you said, Beast didn't show up, and
exactly.
he was always there, Angel.
Like, yeah, he was all of a sudden a politician. And like
it was weird. They yeah. definitely, and then now, as you see, like, probably the last two movies, they're definitely starting to, they're trying to, like, redo it. You know, get everything back in order. So I think this would help them a lot. So I think you're right with that.
It just allows you to reset it, I think. You know, you reset yeah. the franchise, you run it through some television, you really dig deep into these characters, and it allows you to make that blockbuster scene that everyone's starting to make with Jurassic Park and things. You could really go for that blockbuster, I think, after this. I think it's a good thing. I think it's something that I'll wind up checking out and watching the same way I wind up checking out Gotham, and kind of like something you'll dabble into if you do
right.
watch TV, unlike Lucas.
Good points. No, definitely.
Now, what about you?
I agree. I agree with Lucas. I don't like either you or Dan. No, I'm kidding. I think that it would be great to see if it would be kind of like an anti-Shield where you don't have to tune in each week and you can kind of get a little bit of information about X-Men that you have not seen in the films yet. I think that'd be great. Also, another good idea would be to maybe adapt the Runaways, adapt that into this television, because there's just some comic book properties and storylines that won't work in film. Why the Last Man, a book that I absolutely love, which isn't X-Men related, but it is a phenomenal comic book that they tried to make a movie, but they couldn't do it. It was in development hell for a while, and I don't believe it should be a movie. It should be like a Showtime series or an HBO series. That's where, or a Netflix series.
That would be
it
best.
Really should
yeah.
be one of those.
You make
yeah, exactly. It's just, it doesn't, it, there's just some storylines and some characters and some properties that don't necessarily need the big screen adaptation. Look what they're doing with the Marvel shows. You have all the Hell's Kitchen characters. Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, and Iron Fist. You have all these characters, you know, D-list, C-list characters that, you know, didn't work as a movie or probably don't work as a movie, but they could probably make a great television show. I think there's definitely some X-Men there that can definitely, I'm going to say definitely three more times, that can definitely be a TV show, you know? I mean, Channing Tatum as Gambit would be a great movie, but, you know, a Beast movie? No. I'd rather watch a TV series about it, you know? Maybe Beast can be the star. I don't care. But yeah, I would like to see that. I'd definitely watch it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I think we're on all agreement that
it's not a bad idea. You know what else isn't a bad idea? Our next topic. It is a great idea. I don't think there's anyone in the world at this point that would disagree with the statement. If you're going to remake Indiana Jones,
don't.
Who would you cast?
Yeah,
if you're going to remake, not even remake, but if you're going to continue the legacy of Indiana Jones and replace Harrison Ford, because it's inevitable.
Don't.
Look at Star Wars. Look at every other franchise. But if you're going to do it, who should play Indiana Jones? Well, Disney is eyeing everyone's favorite person in the world right now, Chris Pratt. Guardians. Jurassic World. Everyone loves him. I think he can be Indiana Jones. What about you guys? What do you think? We'll start with everyone's favorite skeptic, Lucas.
Man.
It's inevitable. Get past the point. where
we'll get past the point where I go on a rant about how sometimes you could make an original movie and not necessarily try to cash in on a franchise that's already successful. We'll move past that point.
Yes.
And we'll go directly to the question at hand. I suppose if I had to pick anybody, I guess it would be Chris Pratt. And I guess if I had to have the movie be remade and I had to have somebody play it and it was Chris Pratt, it would probably be pretty good. No, I really liked Chris Pratt as Star-Lord in Guardians, which was like a pretty serious role for the most part. It was a serious role with comedy as opposed to a comedy role that's sometimes serious, which is hard sometimes because serious movies that try to interject comedy are either done really well or really poorly. They're either done really, really well and like humor in a subtle way, or it's like action, action, action comedy, like Fast and Furious.
Ludicrous.
Like, yeah. That works because we know what to expect. Like, that kind of acting won't fly in a regular movie. So I think Chris Pratt is the best choice if you're going to redo it. I think he could probably, well, he already has played a convincing adventurer. He did a really good job. It's like Star-Lord is Indiana Jones.
Star-Lord is
exactly.
Pretty much an intergalactic
so
Indiana Jones.
Down.
Yeah.
Now, as long as they get rid of Shia LaBeouf, you know. Now here's the thing. Are they going to replace Shia LaBeouf with Chris Pratt? Are they going to, like, do an Indiana Jones prequel? Are they just going to reboot the franchise? At this point, I feel like they should just reboot it and start making new movies and just ignore the whole Shia LaBeouf thing because that was awful. Just atrocious. And then, you know, just do more indie movies and, like, not try to continue the Harrison Ford lineage. Just reboot the damn franchise already. As long as you don't let J.J. Abrams reboot it, it should be fine.
This just did? All right, so, Ryan, you're the person responsible for introducing me to Indiana Jones, so I take your answer on this to heart. So it better be good.
I hate this. No, I love Chris Pratt. I don't know. When I found out, it's hard to digest because when you think of Indiana Jones, it's Harrison Ford. He's got that Stonewall charisma, just hard up sex. He's just Indiana Jones. I mean, it's gonna be a hard thing to digest. Chris Pratt is incredibly likable. He's funny. Could he rock a 1930s history professor who also travels the world and capturing the world's most sacred pieces? Could he do that?
Definitely could.
He could. I guess maybe. I mean, I love Chris Pratt. He's so cool. At the same time, I'd rather Andy Dwyer just talk about Indiana Jones for like 3 years. That would suffice me. But if you're gonna do it, because obviously, as you said, it's inevitable. Nothing is sacred in Hollywood at all. Just do a whole new story. Do not continue, do a young Indiana Jones, like a younger, I guess. They could shape him up to kind of look like Harrison Ford a little bit.
So, is he getting artifacts in the 20s? Like,
no, but you know, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to say. I mean, I like it, and I don't. It's Harrison Ford's thing, but at the same time, I don't want to see him do it when he's 80. It's kind of depressing and sad. But at the same time, why don't you just make an Uncharted movie with Chris Pratt?
No.
Why don't they just do that?
They have to do that.
Why not?
With Nathan Fillion.
But he's old and fat now. He's not doing that.
You shut your face.
Can't do that.
It is Hollywood. They have CGI.
Nathan Fillion's not doing it. He's got to do 20 seasons of stupid Castle. Hey,
your
so,
dad likes that show.
My dad and like 15 other people like that show. I don't know how that show's still on the air. My final thing is, if you're going to do it, Chris Pratt is certainly better than Bradley Cooper. I would slit my wrist if they made Bradley Cooper Indiana Jones.
Why?
Because I hate Bradley Cooper. I hate him.
Cooper?
I dislike him.
I like Bradley Cooper. Dan, let's go to you.
He was good in Wedding Crashers. That's all I liked him.
Well, my thing is, when I heard this today. You guys brought this news to me. The same reason why I watch the show, I find out about pop culture news I wouldn't find out on my own. Same reason why Lucas listens to the show.
Half the people get their stuff in real time. That work in this room.
Yeah. But seriously, I worry with Chris Pratt. I love Chris Pratt. As a guy who models my relationship after his relationship in Parks and Rec as Andy Dwyer with April Ludgate. I believe I'm Andy Dwyer in real life. I believe that I eat Starburst. Exactly. Like, I believe that is literally my life.
You eat cereal on Frisbees?
Yeah, I look at that and I think it's a documentary about myself when I watch the two of them. And as that guy, I worry about this. I worry about him doing Indiana Jones. I worry about him having an issue with character crossover where all of a sudden you're going to think, oh, is that Star-Lord with a hat on now? Like, is that Star-Lord fighting dinosaurs in Jurassic Park? Is that if you do every big action flick, eventually there's going to come a point where people are going to get frustrated with you, saying that you're not portraying that character, you're just Chris Pratt in a costume. And it's almost like the old, like, you talk about 1920s films when they had, like, three famous actors, and they played
Humphrey
every
Bogart.
Role in every film, no matter what.
Scarlett, how are you?
Like, I feel like
I
that's
have a rebuttal
Sky
that,
Captain.
Dan. Now, you just said that there might be some character crossover, and people are going to think, oh, well, Star-Lord's wearing a hat, or Star-Lord's fighting off a T-Rex. Let's go back to Star Wars and Indiana Jones. One guy was in both of the two of the biggest franchises of all time. I don't think anyone confused Indiana Jones with fucking Han Solo.
I did.
Well, you know, those two characters, they're essentially the same character.
I don't care. I'm not even asking.
Well, no.
Lucas can go on a soliloquy.
No, here you go, because this actually goes really well into the last point that I'm going to make. As the expert, I think, on the subject of Star Wars and Indiana Jones and Harrison Ford, I have not written a fan fiction at all about that. So Harrison Ford played the same character in Indiana Jones and Star Wars. He played the lone rebel with a cause who's got swagger and no attachments except for the one who gets away until she doesn't. What? Yes, I know, but I'm changing the phrase to fit the situation. Try to stay with me, Al. I know I'm moving very quickly. So this brings me to my point about Chris Pratt, is that you know, Harrison Ford didn't necessarily let those two huge franchises kind of weigh him down. He did a bunch of stuff after that. You know, action star, yes, but also changed up his character a little bit in each one. There's two things Chris Pratt needs to nail in order to play a convincing Indiana Jones.
One is me.
One.
Ryan is the wall between Indiana Jones.
He needs to give me a Torton set. No. he's got to nail down. It's this very hard to describe, but it's like this cool, quiet confidence that Harrison Ford has, where he knows he's good. He doesn't care if you know he's good, because if the situation ever gets bad enough, he's going to be the one to save your ass. And he played that same coolness. That's why Han Solo and Indiana Jones are so cool. That's why dudes want to be him and girls want to be with him, because of that quiet coolness. I mean, I would also be fine with that. The second thing he needs to nail down is the Harrison Ford smirk. And we all know what that looks like. If he can nail down that, like, sly, confident smirk, then he's dropping the panties of girls and myself everywhere.
Then they got to get Sean Connery as his dad. Or his great-granddad.
Yeah, I mean, Sean Connery hasn't aged in years, so I feel like he can still play that role.
Sean Connery should still be the next 007.
His accent, although his accent has become completely unrecognizable. He has become so Scottish, even the Scots can't
all
understand.
Just thickness. Yes.
Yes, she.
Yes.
Many penny.
What?
Something about haggis.
Nah, pushy. Like, he'd gross her out by the time he was done, like, getting to the second S. Like, he'd be so done with it.
Come here, Money Penny.
Come here, Money Penny. Give you a good schmuck.
This kid. He's just trying not to spit
it
beer.
Out.
Lucas is choking.
Almost made him regurgitate right here on the table.
All right, well, As Lucas dies over there.
God.
Hopefully they get some official announcement. And I don't know, maybe this starts, maybe we could see this movie soon. You know, if they get something going with, I mean, they'll have to write a script, they'll have to get a cast and director, but that's like, what, 20 minutes at the top? 30.
I'll direct it.
With the way it's coming out, yeah. No, definitely the script. They'll write it out in a day.
Well, he's going to have to fight with his really, really successful Jurassic Park franchise, though. I don't know if you can hear the sarcasm in my voice.
Man's national treasure. All right.
Jurassic's going to do well. I'm excited about Jurassic
Park. Well, the News Over Brews crew thinks that if you have to remake Indiana Jones, which you do not need to do, just throwing that out there.
No, please, by all means.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
But if you're going
to do it, you don't have to.
Chris Pratt,
go ruin something else.
Our recommendation. And that means the
world. Chris, if you're. Chris, when you listen to this, you know, give us a call, man. We'd love to, like, hang out, give you some pointers.
Feature the smart.
You know,
make some Starburst and Skittle sandwiches.
Yeah. You know, it would be great. Like, just go hang out and, you know.
Why don't they make an Andy Dwyer movie where
they should do. They should have an adaptation
Dwyer's
life.
Well, I think what he could do is he could introduce us to Aubrey Plaza, and then the four of us could have a single combat to decide who wins our hand.
I would lose. I cry once any physicality is shown for me.
Honestly,
and she's beautiful now. Have you seen those Newcastle commercials?
She's always been beautiful.
She's gotten beautifuler.
I'd rather, instead of them making an Indiana Jones movie, just make a Burt Macklin FBI movie.
Oh, please, yeah.
John,
I would just throw my money at the theater the second I heard about it. Just start throwing it at the door.
Like a MacGruber sequel, but with Burt Macklin?
You son of a bitch.
Burt Macklin.
All right.
I think also the great thing about single combat for Aubrey Plaza is that Ryan and Al both have girlfriends, and Dan starts sobbing at the thought of physical confrontation,
boom.
So I win by default.
Not Dan is getting married. You go.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Also, congratulations.
Congrats.
Yes. Hey. Congratulations, Dan.
Thank you, guys. I'm just excited that a woman said yes. This was my 30th try. This one I knew.
Yeah,
you did.
You did slip the pills in her drink like I told you to beforehand.
I actually didn't. I put them in mine, so we were a day late on the proposal. I kind of took a nap. I called it a nap. She had to drag me through New Orleans. We were there, but it went well, you know. And I got her to say yes. I was wearing a mustache bow tie at the time, and any woman who says yes to a man with a mustache bow tie is either crazy or wonderful. And I'm hoping she's wonderful, guys, because
crazy wonderful.
Crazy wonderful.
Well, you've been with her for how long? 5 years?
Seems like a day. Like a day.
Nice,
like
rewording.
Like
beautiful
day.
Seems like it's
a day.
Little over 5 years though. Little over 5 years.
Very nice.
Feels like a day though. You know, every day I wake up and I go, really? 5.5 years? I go, it feels like a day. And Lucas reminds me to say that.
Yeah.
Every time.
I have it written on my arm right here.
I have it written all over, just like Andy Dwyer. I write my notes on my arm and my entire schedule.
Yeah. Yes.
You are a marker board.
Exactly.
Marker board. But it helps that our relationship is exactly like Andy Dwyer and Aubrey Plaza.
Perfect.
So it helps. You know, she said yes, even though I had a mustache.
Speaking of Burt Macklin, Al's about to karate chop us
do
in
it.
The face.
That's
so.
Yes. So moving on to our last and final topic, we brought Dan here for a reason, not because he's good looking and we love his bow ties and we love him, but also because knows things about sports. And there's a big sporting event of some sort coming this weekend. I hope this episode.
Oh, the Puppy
Bowl,
right?
The Puppy Bowl
is pretty huge.
But it's the event after the Puppy Bowl or during it?
The Supper Bowl?
Is it?
Cat Bowl?
We all fall asleep because we got too drunk for the Puppy Bowl.
Okay, it's actually called the Super Bowl. I don't think it's...
Actually,
I think the Puppy Bowl is a bigger deal, but let's talk about the Super Bowl first. So...
Okay.
Are we allowed to say the word Super Bowl?
Yeah.
It's trademarked.
Yeah,
do you have the express written consent from NBC?
Supper Bowl, yeah.
We don't have the express written consent of the National Football
League. But here's what we're going to say.
Can we call it the Great Bowl?
It's the Super Big Awesome Bowl.
But what we're talking about here is the Super Bowl, right?
It's the Supper Bowl.
Yeah. No one can tell us how we're pronouncing it. So
right.
You're okay.
Dan, we brought you on the podcast because we want to know your predictions for the Supper Bowl.
Well, real quick, I was very close to Vicky Valancourting everyone who listens to this podcast with a Packers versus Patriots Super Bowl, and somehow a football hit a man in the face while he was trying to recover an onside kick and ruined my entire life and Aaron Rodgers.
That's what happens when you let, a tight end try to recover an onside kick.
He wasn't even supposed to be trying to recover.
Yeah.
So that's an outlier, we call that in the biz. So basically, I did tell you guys that it was going to be favorites this year. I told you this was a favorites type year, and I equate this game coming up this weekend to a Godzilla movie, where Godzilla is against some type of creature that's going to ruin your city, but Godzilla is also ruining your city in the process. So you have to pick, do I want Godzilla to win or King Ghidorah? You know, who am I picking in this situation? You got the Seahawks, the Patriots, two hated teams. And I have a way to boil it down. You know, you choose between Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, who you like more. You choose between a running back who answers six-word questions to the media, just never responds correctly, or a running back that thought that you could not be intoxicated from marijuana an hour later after you. You could pick one of those. You could pick a tight end who likes to spike footballs really hard, or a bunch of wide receivers who you don't know who they are.
Or a tight end that likes to murder people, allegedly.
Exactly. Well, he's not on the team anymore, so we cut him out of that. But, I mean, so there's a lot of things to choose from here. I had the Patriots in my Super Bowl, you know. And as a Giants fan, I want the Patriots to win because I want Eli to be the only guy that beats them. But, you know, there's a dynasty in the making here in the Seattle Seahawks. And coming back from being down 16-0 at halftime to get to the Super Bowl, there's more than just the Packers falling apart. There's something the Seahawks are doing right. And I think a lot of people miss that. I talk a lot of times when I talk about sports, when I'm doing play-by-play, when I'm working with sporting teams. We call it sporting. And I'm working with these teams, and a lot of times when a team's really good, we nitpick, right? The Seahawks didn't go 14-2 this year. They went 12-4. The Seahawks didn't win every home game this year. They lost one to the Cowboys. The Seahawks didn't blow everybody out of the water in the playoffs. They won close games. That doesn't make them a bad team. It makes them human, right? And we saw what they did with 2 weeks to prepare against Peyton Manning. I think you're going to see a very big-time Seahawks game. I think Tom Brady keeps the Patriots in it. 32-29, final score. Vicky Down.
Wow. All right.
Now,
so,
Dan, how did you arrive at that guess?
Not a guess, Lucas. 32-29, the final score.
Be careful down there, Lucas.
All right.
Vicky Down. So we got Dan's pick. It's going to be Seahawks over Patriots.
Correct. We're going Seahawks over Patriots. I would like the Patriots to win, so Eli looks better. But I think the Seahawks are just better than we all think. All right,
so Lucas, you don't have to do a score, but if you want, just who's going to win, Seattle or New England?
You know, I'm torn because as much as Tom Brady is still Tom Brady, the Seahawks have momentum. They've got energy. They got passion. And I almost equate the Patriots to the mid-2000 Yankees. You know, they are good, but they don't have the drive that these other teams that have been fighting the fight have had. They've been dominant for too long. Also, I really think that if the Seahawks win, which I think they will, because I think the Seahawks secondary is going to be too much for Brady to try to handle all game. He's going to slip up eventually, and in a close game, it's all about who screws up the last time. Yeah, I just think that if the Patriots can't pull it together and win, that's it for the Brady era. Because it's happening more and more and in bigger games where the Patriots have failed to put away underdogs in big games because of that same reason. Because the other team is scrappy and they want it more. We've seen it twice with the Giants, and I think this time we're going to see it with the Seahawks.
I just really quick, just jumping in, the one thing I got to argue about in sports is the whole want it more philosophy. People who say they wanted it more, I don't think that you get to a Super Bowl without wanting something out of what you're doing. I don't think, and I think that,
well, I guess we're here.
Yeah,
so
it's like, I don't
might
think,
as well play the game.
I think a lot of people always talk about, oh, they didn't have the drive. Like, it's like the Broncos lose by 40 last year in the Super Bowl. They get crushed. They get demolished. I don't think they wanted to be there. They wanted to be there. The Seahawks were a very good football team. It's just sometimes you run into a buzzsaw. You know, last year the Seahawks were a buzzsaw. The Patriots have run into some buzzsaws. Those Giants teams were clicking. And we've seen in the playoffs before, I've talked about it plenty of times, who's hot. You know, and the Giants were hot those seasons. Any other game during the regular season, we saw it during the regular season the first time, they were awful, you know, and they got beat by the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it ever comes down to, oh, who wants to be there? Who wants to be at the Super Bowl, guys? I think every single NFL player raises his hand. Except for maybe like a punter or a kicker somewhere who doesn't care.
He's like, well, I'm not really going to do anything anyway. So,
so I mean, wanting it doesn't come into the equation. It's just Super Bowl Sunday comes down to the better team and the team that has the least distractions. And I think that's something that'll hurt the Patriots. They are distracted. They have had a lot to deal with. They do a good job at kind of just never answering any questions.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that's enough distraction to keep them away, and I think the Seahawks do win, which I think we're getting at.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and for a score, I'm going to say 30-24. I think there's going to be some field goals going on there.
A lot of field goals.
Yeah, there's two good defenses and two good offenses. I think it's going to be a great game, way better than last year's game,
which was horrible,
boring. I would have rather watched paint dry.
I would have rather watched that puppy bowl, actually.
There was one point where we were all sitting there silent, and I was just like, what is going on? This is the worst.
Literally 5 minutes in, you knew it was like a bad decision. It was like going to like a party where like one other person.
It was like 17-0 at the end of the first quarter.
It's like going to Arby's. 3 bites into your sandwich, you know you're going to be in the bathroom the rest of the night.
I shouldn't have done this.
this is bad. Now, Ryan, who's going to win the Super Bowl?
It's a close one, but I think I have. It's going to be 3-0 Dolphins over the Bengals.
Nice.
In the bottom of the ninth, they're going to. Dan Marino's going to come through, and he's going to club it away like Tiger Woods did in the AFC Championship.
Okay, perfect.
Ryan, for those of you at home, Ryan is a Jets fan, so he knows nothing about football.
He's also
a Mets fan, so he knows nothing about sports in general.
I explained on the last podcast to Ryan that your team's not supposed to give it to the other team.
Right.
They're not supposed to give it to
the other
team.
It's the one that has the ball the least, right? They win.
No, we'll go back over it.
Yes.
Honestly, as much as you guys, the Seahawks are a good team, but I hate Tom Brady. I do. But he comes back like a cold sore. He can't get rid of him. I hate him. I hate him. But he just comes through. I just, for some reason, I don't care. I honestly don't care who wins this year, but I see the Pats winning. I don't know. It pains me to say it, but I see this probably being Tom Brady's like last hoorah. I think he's gonna. I'm gonna go against the Vicky Valancourt.
Vicky Valancourt.
I'm gonna say Pats. I don't have a score. Pats. That's what I'm gonna say.
No score. 0-0.
0-0.
They
pass.
Win in a penalty.
24-20. Pats over the Seagulls. Yeah.
I would watch that.
I would watch.
They had the shootout.
If they had to have the hockey teams from their respective cities do a penalty shootout to decide a game.
Boston Bruins.
Unbelievable. I'm going to pick, since we care, I'm going to pick Steel Panther winning the Super Bowl. Because
if Steel Panther played the halftime of the Super Bowl.
Dude, why did it? Who wants to see Katy Perry at the Super Bowl?
I'm going
to
put it this way. I am cheering for Katy Perry this year.
We're all cheering for Katy Perry. I think we're most likely cheering for Katy Perry to accidentally, quote unquote,
lose all of her clothing.
Lose all of her clothes. On stage, and then hold up a sign that says "Lucas Jones and Manhattan, I'm coming for you next."
And then you find out she's just a murderer.
Right,
that's a good movie. We're scripting it right now.
I'd be fine with that.
Russell Brand shows up.
The girl next door.
Oh my god! If Russell Brand showed up, I'd beat the living shit out of him.
He's Russell Brand.
He's so goddamn annoying.
I was in one movie, and now I'm politically active, and I go to buildings, and I go ahead and annoy people.
She's dating John Mayer, not Russell
Brand.
Oh, that's even fucking.
She was married to him. Oh, the guy who thinks he's better than everything.
Lucas, he'll never fight you. He'll just bore you to death with a 30-minute solo.
Yeah,
he'll just play one note, but really, really passionately.
I'm gonna totally sing about this
over some jazz chords that I rip.
I say
from every other person.
Yeah, I say Steel Panther wins it just because there's gonna be a Super Bowl halftime. Well, not halftime. There's gonna be a Super Bowl commercial. With Steel Panther, and I'm so excited to see it. And that's about it. I really don't give a shit either way. I hate the Patriots. I'm a Giants fan. Football was ruined for me this year.
So, you know what I really hope for the Super Bowl? I hope that whatever party I end up at, there's going to be good food.
Yeah.
Good food.
You know, like, if there's one thing the Super Bowl is good for, it's, like, beer and food.
And forgetting that the game is on.
Right. Yeah. Like,
if your team's not in.
It's, like, really in the background. You really don't.
Like, oh, they scored a touchdown. That's great. Like, you have your numbers from the whatever box pool you're in.
And you never win.
You know, you're kind of watching the game and, like, you're getting drunk. And then as the game goes on, you're, like, start vending drinking games.
It's like an Irish wake. You know, you drink to forget what happened all year.
Right, exactly.
That's it.
You know, and then, like, you know, oh, drink every time Tom Brady's on his ass. Drink every time Marshawn Lynch, you know, forgets to look at the camera. Drink every time Marshawn Lynch grabs his crotch.
I'll give you one. Yeah, drink every time Marshawn Lynch grabs his crotch. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say drink every time Richard Sherman acts like his arm is hurt. Because he spent an entire Packers game acting like his arm was in a sling, which I think was just a decoy move to try to get the Packers.
Can I add one? Drink every time Bill Belichick looks like a hunk of crap.
The whole game.
Drink
whole
every game. Time Tom Brady is on his butt.
Whole time.
Every time Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm. By the way,
drink every time Bill Belichick throws his quarterback under a bus at a press conference.
Well, I didn't do it, but I know who did.
I didn't do it, but if anybody would have done it, Tom Brady, everyone, come on up.
Tommy! That deflated
by the way,
football.
Ryan and Lucas, you're not watching the Super Bowl. You're actually helping my parents. Sorry to tell
you. Who are you?
Well, first of all, I just took over
podcasters Sunday.
I'm now Al Manarino.
Who's moving on a Sunday?
They're not moving on Super Bowl Sunday.
They're actually moving again this weekend.
Oh, that sucks.
I know. You guys are helping. That's the worst part about it.
I'm not going to be here, actually.
Yeah, okay. Weekend,
Lucas just moved.
Okay.
Yeah, I moved. I'm living in...
this is actually a video conference from Hawaii. We're not
that
here.
That looks like your room.
No, it's not.
I actually replicated.
Oh, dude! You hear
replica.
The steel drums and the pineapple grilling over there on the
aloha,
yeah, aloha Hawaii. Aloha.
It's Benny Agbayani from the Mets.
Benny Agbayani.
Let's go hang out.
On that note, that's going to end it for another fantastic episode of News Over Brews, filled with I don't know what the hell just happened over this hour, but whatever. This is going to be a fun one to edit for you, Lucas.
Oh, it's going to be miserable.
Great. Benny Agbayani
yes,
made it.
So,
he hasn't been relevant in like a decade.
He's relevant right now.
He's relevant right now. He's my brother-in-law.
You know what's going to happen, which is going to be really funny? If people actually listen to this, you know how I'll be able to tell? Is if Google searches for Benny Agbayani spike. Like in the late 90s, early 2000s, and then it dips,
hold
and
on.
Then all of a sudden, bloop.
Anybody who's listening to this, Google how to spell Agbayani. And then hashtag Benny Agbayani.
Yeah. Do tag News Over Brews on Twitter and put the hashtag Benny Agbayani.
I will just retweet hashtag, and follow all of you. Hashtag Bayag. How's his last
Benny Agbayani.
Benny Agbayani. I don't know.
Flying Hawaiian, yeah.
Hey, right. I love that guy.
Random hashtag there, guys. How about let's plug the actual show?
Dude got laid pretty often.
So.
I'm sure he did. He ate a lot of pineapple slices.
And spam.
Yeah, he did.
I'm going to kill you both.
I think we should just keep interrupting Al so we can't do his sign-off.
Wait. I don't want this to ever end.
No.
No, that's fine. All right, no, seriously, go ahead, Al.
I'm trying to plug our show. So
all right, go ahead.
News Over Brews.
So have you...
No, you know... Benny and the Mets.
Ooh, good one. That was a good one.
That's it. I'm in hell. News Over Brews.
Go ahead.
is now available on iTunes and Stitcher as well as SoundCloud, and you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at News Over Brews. Make sure you follow at popbreak.com, and you can check us out on popbreak.com as well. Lucas, Ryan, and myself are all writers on the site, and we provide reviews and interviews with different voices in metal and Lucas covers metal on the fucking website, and he does reviews of albums
on the internet. Lucas writes
on the
Facebook, and I'm Kurt Happy. Ryan does weekly reviews of Justified, and I am the managing editor.
You really?
As humanly possible while still getting a lot of sleep. Dan,
see, you see, he's already an editor. He used the word whilst in proper.
Now, Dan, plug yourself.
Yeah. plug myself. Well, I work for the Philadelphia Flyers right now, also the MLB Network. But you're going to see me with the Philadelphia Flyers come playoff time. And Lucas might be joining me on the air February 7th.
Mm-hmm.
That's something to look out for. I will make sure to get him on all of our videos if he does, in fact, show up.
I think I'm going to.
And tickets to the Flyers are $5, folks. And I work there. If you know me, if you give me a shout-out, I'll try to introduce you to the players.
Mm-hmm.
Very fun. It's a fun place to watch, fun place to play. And you can do it with
kids. Oh, yeah, I'm not skating.
I can't skate either, and I work in hockey.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to end it for New Zimmer Brewers. I'm Al Mannarino. This is one of the newest podcasts.
I'm Lucas Jones, and any podcast with Dan, sure, it's a weird podcast, but, you know, it's just a little more sensual that way.
And I'm Ryan DeMarco, and I'm already working on my excuses to get out of helping Al's parents move.
And I'm Dan. Really quick, just want to say, it's only weird if you make it weird, and that's my life slogan.
Thanks for listening.
Big time.